Hello, I'm Kathleen Dunn. You are listening to the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio for this Tuesday, the 20th of July. Are there racist elements within the Tea Party movement? The NAACP convention received a lot of attention last week when a resolution was passed that asked for the Tea Party to repudiate racist elements within their organization. They cited a North Iowa Tea Party billboard that likened President Barack Obama to Hitler. The statement also cited as examples reports by some black members of Congress that they were spat upon and subjected to racial epithets before they voted on the health care overhaul. No charges were filed. Some Tea Party supporters have denied the claim, saying that there is no evidence that they occurred. Well, I have two viewpoints during the course of this hour, actually more than that, because I'm sure many of you will join in this conversation. We have two guests, Jenks Morton joining us the first part of the program, political activist and documentary filmmaker of What Black Men Think, and a speaker at the upcoming Unity Rally on July 31st. We'll also be speaking later in the hour with Kenneth Mack, who's a professor of law at Harvard Law School. Our phone number for you to join this conversation, which should be interesting, is 800-486-8655. 800-486-8655. The email address, as always, is talk@wpr.org. talk@wpr.org. And we start our conversation with Jenks Morton. Hello, Jenks. Thanks very much for being with us.
And good morning to you, Kathleen, and thank you for having me.
Yeah, our pleasure. So what do you think of the NAACP resolution about repudiating racism within the Tea Party movement? Is there much racism, would you say?
I wouldn't use the word much to qualify it. I will say that within any group, there are going to be elements of racism, sexism, chauvinism, misogynyism, and had a couple of other isms that I probably can't think of this morning. And those have been wholly condemned by the Tea Party prior to the resolution by the NAACP. Is it adequate? Is it appropriate? Absolutely. The condemnation of racist elements inside of any group is appropriate. But I would say that the relevancy and the timeliness around their activities is probably what gave a lot of people pause within inside the Tea Party, that while there are a lot of things and challenges that the NAACP faces internally amongst themselves, this is an opportunity to put them in the national spotlight once again around the issue of race as opposed to the issue for the advancement of colored people, which is their mandate.
Mm-hmm. You are a member of the Tea Party?
No, I am not a card-carrying member, and I qualify this with the media constantly. There's a book that I would like to refer to for your readers. It's called Spider and the Starfish. I'm sorry. And it talks about networking, hierarchical structures, and then decentralized structures. The Tea Party, in its inception, has never been a hierarchical structure. It's a loose conglomeration of organizations around the country coming together. To be a card-carrying member of the Tea Party is almost an anomaly. There are some people in higher positions that represent certain column-based organizations around the country. But no, I'm not a card-carrying member, but I do speak on their behalf around the country.
Why? What do you find appealing about it? And I know there are different elements in the Tea Party. Are there overarching themes that you adhere to?
Well, my political ideologue, I'm a right-of-center Jeffersonian libertarian, so when you look at the construct of limited government or the expanse of government outside the bounds of the Constitution, when you look at individual liberty and freedom devoid of the intervention of the larger government and the larger society, those ideologues kind of parallel where I am in my political viewpoint. But then also there's been a mantra inside of the American electorate for a very, very long time that only a two-party system can be efficacious in, I guess, moving along political agenda. And I just don't ascribe to that. I think that all voices should be representative. And then political parties, I mean, political power devolving to two parties is what has got us into this kind of crisis that we've been in, where each other kind of banters with each other party just for power's sake, and really replicating and doing the same types of activities outside of the bounds of the Constitution on both sides of the equation.
Mm-hmm. Because it's not a top-down organization, it would not be fair to say, and I think most people think, when they think of the Tea Party, they think of Sarah Palin.
No, I wouldn't say most people think of that, because if you understand that one of those factions, Sarah Palin is a Republican. She ran as a Republican. She's kind of latched on or tied to the Tea Party recently. The Tea Party movements actually were done outside the bounds of Sarah Palin. There's a lot of, misperceptions about what the Tea Party represents, and that goes back to the white supremacists or the racists, and that this is the party of Bible-thumping, gun-toting, Sarah Palin-supporting constituents, and that's just not what it is. It's across multiple ethnicities. So even there's Democrats in the Tea Party. There's Libertarians. There's Republicans. There's Whig Party. I didn't even know those things still existed. There's people from multifacets of American culture coming together around a couple of key issues that drive the Tea Party agenda.
It is a hugely majority white party, though. Why is that?
I don't know if I can agree with that. That it's a hugely majority. That's kind of subjective. I can't ascribe to that. That I would say, just because it has the face of white, does it make it a white party? No. It's just not what it is. It is an idea. It's a concept, and it's tenets. It's not about the individual faces. Again, as you look at a hierarchical structure, you would look for things around race. You would look for things around gender. You would look for things around leadership, and that's not what this initiative is about. This is about ascribing to, again, limited government, strict adherence to the Constitution, and re-empowering people to disempower a government that has really gone outside the bounds of what its original mandate is.
The figures, though, show that the 55% of people who are part of a Tea Party movement call themselves are white and female.
Okay. And the question is?
Why is it that it is predominantly white? Because I believe the figures show that it is 80% white, if not more than that.
I don't have an answer for that, but I know that as we speak today, and as we talk about things like around the Unity conference that's happening at the end of July, that is going to be expanding. And if you just look at the larger society as whole, it may even mirror what the larger society is. Our society is mostly white, so I don't see the relevance and why that has to be ascribed. I would say Democrats probably look the same way. Republicans probably look as the same way. They're majority white parties. Why is that perception or that lens have to be solely ascribed to the Tea Party? And again, I think it ties back into the misperceptions around what the agenda is as you begin to weave race back into the factor of what this organization is.
Mm-hmm. What about these specific charges leveled by the NAACP? Let's start with reports by some black members of Congress, including Congressman John Lewis, that he was spat upon and subjected to racial epithets before they voted on the health care overhaul. There are some people in the Tea Party saying that that never happened. There's no evidence. What do you make of that charge?
Well, it's kind of twofold. One that was a Tea Party member, and then also in the era that we live in, because they were walking on the Hill to go cast their votes in the era of cell phones, video, media coverage, the Tea Party has come in a position where they say, just provide evidence. Because where we are, especially when it comes around the construct of white supremacy or white racism, the allegations or the levity of the allegations often outweigh the evidence. And there's just never been evidence to support Congressman Lewis's allegations, who I respect and know, but these things become myth, they become hyperbole in order to kind of castigate the Tea Party or to hang a anchor about their neck of racist as a racist organization. And from my experience, for the people from, again, across multiple ethnicities throughout this country who are a part of this movement, it's just not the overlying arc of what is the people who are involved in the organization.
So you're not sure it happened? I mean, you think there's validity?
I wasn't there. I can't tell you. What I will say, there has been no record no video record. It's just been an allegation by a person. It looks like, just like the Duke LaCrosse case, there was an allegation of rape when the evidence came in. It was not. The allegation is there, and the weight of the allegation carries more than the actual evidence. There has been no video evidence of Congressman Lewis being called a racial epithet or being spat upon at that incident.
I thought I saw a television video of it when it was on the news.
I haven't seen it. It may be out there. I have not seen that. Well, what you will see is what, but it's just how, you know, we are image-driven society. You put that in conjunction with, yes, some of the more deleterious castigations of our president that you see from time to time, the pictures of President Barack. Yes, label all that together. You may even believe that you've seen a video of Congressman Lewis being spat upon. I just have not seen the videotape, and the people that I associate with inside the Tea Party have not shown me that evidence and not seen that type of evidence. But again, the levity of the charge just outweighs the actual evidence that's presented.
Do you think, Jenks, that the element of race is used by many political parties? Do you think that the Democrats used the element of race to attack candidate Obama?
The Democrats used the attack Obama?
Yeah, the Clinton campaign has been accused of that.
Oh, I'm sorry. You went way back. I'm thinking recently. There were some statements that came out at that time that I can't recall who said it directly, but said he would not be in this position if he were a white man. I can't remember who. I don't want to assign that falsely. I remember some things, but I will back it up to this. The construct of race, one, it's an artificial construct. It's superficial, and it's been devolved to, you know, skin tone, facial features, and hair texture, and it comes from this period in Napoleon. It has been used to divide people for centuries, to pit one group against the other, basically saying that one group is superior and another group is an inferior for power's sake. So as I have seen it through the lens of Republicanism, Democratism, and now even Tea Partyism, race is just in the construct of the American psyche. And I've said it over and over again. If your job is to go and carve out and fight racism, you will have gainful employment until Jesus Christ returns to this earth. It's just the way it is. And this country, understanding that, you know, one of the things that disheartens me is that, you know, you have Ben Jealous, who's the leader of the NAACP, David Webb, who's the quasi-leader of the Tea Party, falling into this kind of debate, the debate over race. It's there, acknowledge it, but really it distracts us from the issues. The NAACP, again, has a mandate for the advancement of color people. Fighting racism, in my perspective, I do not see that as the core competency that allowed them to achieve the great strides and the historical relevance that they had up until like 64, 65, the Civil Rights and Voting Rights Act. This construct is divisive. It does not lead to a healthy and critical debate around the issues that will not only advance the people, the colored people, but the country as a whole.
Let's go to some phone calls. We have many of them for you. Our number is 800-486-8655. Laura in Manitowoc. Hi.
Hi. Well, I just wanted to say that I'm one of those people who does not consider themselves a Republican. I do not consider myself a Democrat either. And I couldn't agree more. The two-party system is the cause of all our political problems. And for people like myself who are looking for something other than the Republican Party or the Democratic Party, the Tea Party was initially appealing. And the Republicans scrambled very quickly to say, you know, let's try to gobble up as many of these Tea Party members as we can and bring them into our fold. And I think the Democrats tried to do that as well, but they saw that they were not going to be successful at that. And so now their effort is to accuse everyone who is Tea Party member of being a Republican in sheep's clothing. And I think it's disgusting and it's disheartening that now the people who I think really at the basis of this, who formed the Tea Party movement, who wanted something other, are left fighting this fight. And it's all this smoke and mirrors, let's get them off the topic, so they have to defend themselves and can't be effective. And I just want to say that this whole campaign that is being waged to accuse the Tea Party members of being, you know, something other than what they are is really fueled by people asserting that they're racist and trying to focus on things that really aren't there, trying to create situations that really aren't there. And this entire interview, Joy, shame on you, because you are promulgating that, and I think a lot of it is coming from your program and programs such as yours.
Well, I'm not Joy. I'm Kathleen.
Kathleen.
Yeah. But
your caller makes a great point, and I hear her frustration and her passion, and she's absolutely right. As you, not you. I'm not saying you personally, but as the perception is that this is the party of Sarah Palin. That is, again, like your caller said, an attempt by Republicanism to co-opt an initiative. And the one thing I'll take you back, agree or disagree with this guy, Ross Perot, from the, I want to say that was the 94 election. His movement stood alone. It wasn't even an outshoot from Republicanism. It was a new voice. And that threatens the power base that is inside the Beltway where I reside. They do not want anything outside the bounds of what the status quo is interrupting their access to power. They like sharing it between each other. They hang out at the bars after they have these quasi-debates on the Hill. But anything that disrupts that will throw off their control and their power over the American electorate. The Tea Party represents that, so they're looking for ways to undermine it, to co-opt it, to hijack it, to distract it, to put it in a place that, again, where the mainstream media, the American consciousness, can kind of malign or discredit or discount, deny, dismiss it, so that they can continue to hold on to these reins of power.
Thanks very much for the call, Laura. And just to let you know that we're taking on this issue because we're trying to understand it. I don't think there's necessarily demeaning going on here. Race is a huge issue in this country, has been for a long time. This president has had problems with people who don't believe it was born in the United States. I mean, there's a huge issue concerning race, concerning him, and still concerning the country. So we're not demeaning anybody. We're trying to understand it. And I think we're trying to, if there is racism, draw attention to the subject. So I don't think that we are deserving of shame on us for talking about this. It's a good topic. We can disagree about it. Ralph is next from Little Suamico. Hi, Ralph.
Yes, hi. I'm probably going to reiterate what a lot of other people are saying. And it's basically the Tea Party is not like a party like the Republican Democrat Party. You can't, like, look them up in the phone book and call them up or go to their office or something like that. It's a group of like-minded people, and they come from different walks of life. So you're going to have some people that I guess you could call are nutcases. You're going to have some other people that are very clear thinkers that have, you know, maybe a doctorate in economics or something like that. But then to take the lowest common denominator and then just smear everybody with that label, it's been done before, and it's been done by both parties. I mean, Clinton was accused of all kinds of things, and both of the Bushes were, and of course Obama is, and you've got this fringe group of people, maybe called politicals, that just like to destroy people that are in power. And I think we got to look at the issues, not personalities like what's been done in the past.
Jinx?
Yes, I'm here.
You want? I know. You want to respond?
I'm in agreeing with him. I think the thing that, and this is where my career kind of started several years ago. I worked around the castigation of black male identity. And what he said, you take the lowest common denominator and ascribe it to a group that's unrighteous, it's unfair, and it typically is not a real, real representation of what the group looks like. The question that I, you know, again, launched me in the national spotlight. I just went around the country asking people, are there more black men in jail or in college? And most people said jail, because this is what the perception is of afraid or a fraction of the group, that most black men are incarcerated. And it's not true. It's not even close. But the same thing can be done to any group. But this is, again, a bigger arc around political agenda and political power, because the Tea Party as a movement threatens the power base of two parties that sit and like to play footsie with one another. This is an absolute threat to what is the status quo in Washington, D.C. So I'm agreeing with your caller.
Couldn't it also, though, considering this nation's long and abhorrent history on the issue of race, and that's the focus of the NAACP, be just, you know, call racism where it is? If there are elements of racism within this party, it needs to be condemned, and it needs to be condemned right out front.
And you're right, but the NAACP today, actually, the same thing. They have a racist person that they're not denouncing that is a part of their organization. It hit the newswire this morning, that basically saying that she had a preferential treatment in her position as the USDA and wholly was racist against a white person. And she was at an NAACP forum. They're not going to condemn that. This lens of race, as it's been a focus over the past 40 years, has been really for about power. And again, as I said earlier, you can carve out racism anywhere in this country. I use the Don Imus equation always, that show me a black person, and I am a person of color, that has been advanced or moved forward or is in a better position today because of all of that fiasco that went along with Don Imus. The racism exists. If you want to make a career out of it, go ahead, but their mandates, as you look at the civil rights movement, as you look at the history of the Urban League, the history of the NAACP, it was not about carving out racism. It was for the redress of grievances of a people who had been subjugated by a legal and governmental process. That was resolved in 64 and 65 through the Civil Rights Act. Their core competency has turned into finding out wherever white racism exists in this country, putting it on expose for the benefit of keeping themselves relevant in a period where their core competency is no longer there.
Well, couldn't you also say that they're doing it because they don't like racism and they want to get rid of it?
You never get rid of racism, black or white. It's not going to happen. I'm saying there are people and principalities who have a vested interest in and are compensated to carve out racism, that this is not about advancing people. This is not about advancing the African-American community. You want to advance the African-American community? Throw out the NAACP Image Awards, where misogyny and chauvinism and castigation and denigrations. I can take my daughter to a tea party. I cannot let her watch the NAACP Image Awards. She's 11.
Let's pause for just one moment and return and take a couple more phone calls. Our guest this part of the program is Jenks Morton, political activist, documentary filmmaker. What Black Men Think is the documentary. He's speaking at the upcoming Unity Rally on July 31st. Our number is 800-486-8655. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. We have time for one more phone call for this guest, then we change guests. Same subject, Brett from Milwaukee. Hello, Brett.
Hi, how are you?
Okay, how are you?
Good. I called with 2 points, but I want to throw a third one out. Your guest spoke about the NAACP not responding to the Shirley Sherrod statement, and actually posted right on their website, on the homepage of it, is a statement from the director of the NAACP specifying shock and disgust at her comments. So while I'm sure that there were people in the audience that reacted with laughter when she made her statement, the organization has made a clear statement that they reject her comments and her attitude. The second comment was that your guest indicated that there was no video evidence of the congressman being spat upon. And if you go to the Huffington Post's website, it'll take you about a second or two to find that video, and you can very clearly see the congressman being spat upon and wiping the spit off of his face. And then the third thing is, if the Tea Party is not a part of the Republican Party, then show me one candidate that is not a Republican, or more clearly is a Democrat, that the Tea Party is actively supporting. And those are my comments.
All right. Thanks, Brett, for the call. Jenks, your response?
I'm taking a look at the Huffington Post right now, and I qualified it by saying that that was a Tea Party member who spat upon him. And I'm looking for the video right now at the Huffington Post. More importantly, the cited examples of what he was asking, are Tea Party members Republicans or Republicans Tea Party members? I was trying to understand where he was going with that.
Yeah, he was talking about Tea Party members not supporting any Democrats, so they're clearly a part of the Republican Party.
That's a logical fallacy. He's saying one is associated with the other. One, the Democratic Party tried and attempted to kind of codify the Tea Party candidates. It just didn't happen. Republicans tried, and it does happen in spaces. But more importantly, it is a party, again, or a movement that is standing alone. It is wholly that it has welcomed in Republican candidates, and again, the Republicans have tried to codify it, but it's going to take us off of the issue of what they are. The Tea Party would not exist if their ideologue or ideologue paralleled exactly what the Republicans represent, and it grew out of the point of frustration with both parties, as some of us have yelled, as screamed at the top of our lungs when George Bush co-opted or federalized the public school system with No Child Left Behind. We were still screaming when President Obama launched the National Health Care Initiative. That's a representative of both sides of the equation that frustrates individuals who really understand the construct of what the federal government's mandate should have been.
Thank you, Jenks Morton, very much for being with us.
Thank you.
Jenks Morton, political activist, documentary filmmaker. His film is What Black Men Think, and he is speaking at the Unity Rally on July 31st. Joining us this next part of the program and is Professor Kenneth Mack, professor of law at Harvard Law School, where he has taught for about 10 years now. He was co-director of the annual workshop Race Making and Lawmaking in the Long Civil Rights Movement. He teaches courses on property law, American legal history, civil rights history, and the legal construction of racial identity. And he participated in a Library of Congress symposium on the National Association for the Advancement of Colored People. In case you're tuning us in, what we're talking about this hour is the NAACP at their convention calling on the Tea Party to repudiate racist elements within the party, citing specifically some of the posters that have been up at the Tea Party rallies against health care and also some of the racial epithets that have been leveled at black members of Congress. Are there elements of racism within the party, and do they need to be repudiated, is the subject of this conversation this hour. Our phone number, 800-486-8655. And we go now to Professor Kenneth Mack. Kenneth Mack, thank you very much for being with us.
Thank you for inviting me.
Our guest, you're just a little soft, if you can get a little closer to the phone. I guess the last half hour of the program, Jenks Morton, from documentary filmmaker and member of the Tea Party, really had some harsh words against the NAACP, which basically he accused of using the issue of race just to hold on to their own power and to keep their organization going. He didn't think very highly of it. What do you think of the organization, and what do you think of their calls for the Tea Party to repudiate racism in their ranks?
Well, I thought the call, the NAACP's call, was fairly carefully worded. It didn't designate the Tea Party as a racist movement. It called upon the party to repudiate racist elements in its ranks, and it gave some examples. Now, one could dispute whether those particular examples were racist, but it was. I thought it was fairly carefully crafted. And I wouldn't agree with the assertion that it's just an effort for the on behalf of the NAACP to hold on to its power base. It doesn't seem demagogic or ill-conceived. It's something that somebody could disagree with, but it does seem to be on its face fairly well reasoned.
Mm-hmm. there also is some controversy, and he said that he had never seen any evidence that John Lewis, Congressman John Lewis, was showered with epithets outside the Capitol as he was to vote on health care reform, or that he was called the N-word or the F-word.
Yes, and you know that's been a debate ever since that particular incident was alleged to have happened. And, of course, no one's ever seen it because it's not on film. What we have is Congressman Lewis's words and other people who claim that they were insulted. And we have a bunch of other people who claim that such things never occurred. That's something that you can't nail down with any certainty. But I do respect members of Congress who say that these things happened, and I have no reason to think that they're lying. But, of course, we can't verify it with 100% certainty, but that's true of many things in life.
Yeah, I'm missing something here because I watch the news every night, and I saw that on the news. What did I hallucinate this or what?
I'm sorry, you saw what on the news?
I saw Congressman Lewis being yelled at. I didn't hear that particular word, but I saw a video of this happen, didn't I? I was watching the news.
Yes, and clearly the congressmen were being yelled at. I know the NAACP resolutions reference that. There's been talk of the various things that have been said about President Obama. There's been a lot of vitriol, and the debate is whether or not the vitriol that has been directed at the congressman or perhaps President Obama is racist. And on that, people do disagree, but I have some respect for the people who are elected to Congress who are there and say that these things happen.
What about the idea that the NAACP is losing members, that their organization is more older people now, and they're trying to revive their base, and so they used an opportune moment, as the Tea Party is playing in a lot of elections in this country right now, to make themselves relevant?
Well, you should also note that the president of the NAACP, Ben Jealous, is actually quite a young man. And I wouldn't characterize the organization as something that's old and losing relevance. It's clearly trying to invent itself for the new century, as it should. And it's elected a quite young person to run it, and that seems to be good for the organization itself. I think with all of these things, you have to look at the text of the resolution and say, does it appear to be demagogic? Does it appear to be opportunistic? Does it appear to be not well-reasoned? Those things, I think, are not true. One can disagree with the resolution. One can dispute that these particular things that were alleged to have said to the congressman happened. But as I read the resolution, it's well-reasoned. It cites the specific things that it says that Tea Party activists have done. And in that sense, it seems to make a lot of sense. I wouldn't say that this is, if you were going to characterize something as sort of a blind swipe by an organization that's desperate to hold on to its membership, I don't think you would see a resolution that looks like this one.
Mm-hmm. And what about the issue of, so much has been written about the fact that we have our first African-American president and that the elements of racism have surfaced in this country, not only perhaps among some members and maybe few members of the Tea Party, but among everybody. I was asking our other guest about some statements that were made by other Democratic candidates, people who were making statements in audiences at rallies for the McCain camp, particularly the posters that we've seen with Obama being compared to Hitler, and you hear that, on conservative talk show radio as well. Is he the brunt of a lot of that because he's black?
That is very hard to sort out. I think one has to remember that I think our political discourse has been quite divided since the 1990s. There was a good deal of vitriol that was directed at President Clinton, for instance. and, you know, that was a very different racial context. So I think it's very difficult to separate, I'd say, the coarsening of our political culture that's happened in the last 15 years or so from what specifically is about race. Now, I think we can identify several things. So, for instance, there are 20% of Americans, according to a CBS New York Times poll, think that President Obama was born outside of the United States. Now, that's an easily falsifiable assertion. You know, one can look at his birth certificate, and the question is, does one believe what one sees?
Yes.
And I'd say 20% of Americans are not prepared to believe what they see. That, I think, is racist. How much of that translates into opposition to his policies, political vitriol, that's hard to tell. One could be strongly opposed to Obama's policies in America. We should have a free debate about everything without being racist. But it's also clear that a significant portion of Americans seem to ask questions of Obama that they wouldn't ask of a white candidate, for instance, questioning whether he was born in the United States.
Mm-hmm. And the person who I can't remember his name, who considers himself the head of that birther movement, has been repudiated by other members of the Tea Party or not?
Well, this I can't say with assurance. I know that over the weekend, Mark Williams was repudiated by the mainstream of the Tea Party, and he's the actually quite prominent Tea Party activist who had posted a satirical letter about African Americans. And he and his movement, the Tea Party Express, which is also a quite prominent part of the Tea Party, have been expelled. I think that amounts to an admission that there is racism within the Tea Party movement.
Mm-hmm.
Although it's also certainly true in the converse that many people could, and probably do, affiliate themselves with the Tea Party movement without necessarily doing it for racist reasons.
Let's go to phone calls. We have many of them. 800-486-8655. 800-486-8655. Jake in Milwaukee, thanks for waiting.
Hi, no problem. I'd just like to make two statements, and then I kind of like my point of view. I'm a pretty moderate guy. You know, conservative on some things, progressive on other things, trained to do science, so I'm pretty objective. I would just say anybody who is not aware of a lot of these racist signs and stuff, they should go online and look. Because there is one in particular where it shows Obama, you know, a black man obviously, taking a knife to a white Uncle Sam and mugging him for money. Now, I can't think of anything more racist than that. I mean, it just disgusts me. So my big thing about the Tea Party is that, one, when Bush was president, when raised our national debt to like $1 trillion, allowed spied on Americans through the NSA, tortured people. Where were these Tea Party people? I don't know where they were. You know, you think if they're so principled, they would have been out then. And basically, because of their silence during Bush's problems for, you know, spying and raising this debt, I look at them as kind of unethical, they don't have integrity. They have situational ethics. It only matters via ideology if they have their conservative libertarian people in. They will turn a blind eye. But as soon as there's a Democrat in, he has a different set. So I don't see any integrity, and I do not take them seriously. And if they would actually use this opportunity by NAACP instead of counterattacking back, and putting racism back and said, we're sorry, these racist people, we're going to get them out of our out of our thing, and then they hold their other conservative officials to the same standards, I would give them respect as a movement. But
okay, Professor Mack.
I agree with some of what the caller says. It seems to me that it's clear that there are at least some people within the Tea Party who are racist. There are some signs that can be identified. There are some statements that can be identified. We can go back and forth about the John Lewis incident and exactly what happened there, but it seems to me the call's right that it's undeniable that some people who have been at Tea Party rallies have said things and done things that are undeniably racist and vitriolically so. Now, the question is, how large a proportion of the Tea Party movement are these people? We can debate that, but I think the caller is at least right about that proposition. One thing we should point out, though, is that, you know, the Tea Party is a new political movement. It only came into being last year. So it's hard to say that they should have criticized President Bush's policies. But I also think that going forward, we could certainly hold members of the Tea Party, as we hold members of all political movements, accountable for racism directed against both historic racial minorities within the United States and new immigrant groups, particularly Muslims. And I think the caller is exactly right to make that assertion.
And thanks for the call. More phone calls in a moment. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Second hour of our program today. In the summer of 1964, more than 700 college students descended on Mississippi to register black voters, teach in freedom schools, and live in sharecroppers' shacks. On the night of their first arrival, three young men, Andrew Goodman, Michael Schwerner, and James Cheney, disappeared. They were killed. Less than 7% of blacks could vote in Mississippi. Schools and public facilities were segregated, and vigilante violence broke out wherever segregation was challenged. We'll talk about the Freedom Summer with Bruce Watson, the author of the book Freedom Summer, The Savage Season That Made Mississippi Burn and Made America a Democracy, our number two of our program. This hour, are there elements of racism within the Tea Party? Are they strong enough to be repudiated by the Tea Party, as the NAACP suggests the Tea Party should do? Professor Kenneth Mack, professor of law at Harvard Law School, is our guest. And we go to Steve from Waupaca next. Hi, Steve.
Hi.
Hi.
Your guest said the Tea Party just started last year, but I know I've heard some of them claim that they had gotten together back in like 05 or 06, and that's where the supposed hardcore ones got this movement started. And my point is, anybody that joined after Obama got elected, they're just a Republican. I mean, their whole problem, you know, one of their main problems is the deficit. Well, where were these people complaining about the deficit when Bush ran up a huge deficit for no reason? Ran up a huge deficit giving money to the rich and refusing to pay for the war he started. And so they're absolutely hypocritical. And the only way they'll get any kind of credibility is actually if they run candidates against both parties, not just run a very, very conservative Republican and call them a Tea Party member. But they're only going to be a true party if they actually run against Republicans as well.
Professor Mack.
Well, I mean, that's a good question. Your question is sort of two questions. The second half of it is sort of, what should the Tea Party do to be a, let's call it, a mainstream political movement? It is true, at least according to polling data, about 4% of Tea Party members describe themselves as Democrat, compared to about 32% of Americans more generally. It's a Republican movement. It is a it started as a fringe movement in the Republican Party. It's trying to become part of the Republican mainstream. You know, the answer to the caller's, the second part of his question, it depends on what the objectives of the Tea Party movement are. If their objective is to pull the Republican Party to the right, they should do exactly what they're doing. If their objective is to be a national movement that could win national elections and be mainstream, they are eventually going to have to do something else. But historically, many political movements actually have started as fringe movements and moved into the mainstream, and the question for the Tea Party strategically is, will it do that?
I wanted to clarify something that you said earlier, Professor Mack. When you said, did you say 20% of Americans believe the president was born outside the United States?
Yes.
20% of Americans.
I'm sorry. This is a CBS News, New York Times poll. It's a CBS News, I believe, New York Times poll conducted back in April. And according to the poll, 20% of the respondents to this poll answered that they believe that the president was born outside the United States. 30% of Tea Party members who were sampled in this particular poll believe that the president was born outside the United States. So that means many
right.
Americans are racist.
Right.
Those Americans are somewhat overrepresented in the Tea Party, but not necessarily. But there's a large portion of the general populace that believes this also.
Right. Isn't that something? Well, that's a figure I wanted you to give us. So that's my question. Thank you. Thank you for the call. We go to Gary from Merrill next. Hi, Gary.
A couple of things about the Tea Party that I would say they do talk of responsibility and self-reliance. But as far as racism, I think it's alive and well. It'll never go away. And when you talk of blacks, you have the United Negro College Fund, the Black Panthers seem to be making a big comeback. NAACP, the Urban League, Congressional Black Caucus, Southern Poverty Law Center, all of these groups seem to be very racist, anti-white. We're blaming people for things that happened a couple hundred years ago that never had anything to do with it. And I don't know why we can't just... the United States, if there's any country that's did as much as possible to equalize, give everybody a fair shot in life, it's got to be the United States. What other country would it be? So why all the condemnation? If blacks can get away with saying certain words, whites can't, what just puts you in a position where, you know, you're separating the races, and I think it's for political reasons. The more you condemn one group, the more power the other group gets, and it never ends. I don't see any end to it.
I think you need to listen to the second hour of our show, Gary. A lot of the horrible violence was a lot less than 200 years ago. Professor Mack, do you want to respond to that?
I'd say there are two parts to the caller's question. One is the first part is to sort of lump the Black Panthers, I think he listed the Black
yes.
Panthers, the NAACP, the Urban League, as all racist organizations. And again, I think that's an assertion that is demonstrably untrue. He listed a bunch of different groups. I don't know the new Black Panthers. I can't say who they are. I probably very much disagree with who they are. I wouldn't lump them in with the NAACP and the Urban League. Anyone who knows the NAACP's history knows, it's always been an interracial organization. Many among its top leadership have historically been white. Actually, most of the original founders of the NAACP were white. There was only one prominent black founder, who was W.E.B. Du Bois. It's a very different organization than some of the others that the caller named, and one could do the same thing with the Urban League. So, again, there are many groups out there that have many racial agendas, and they are different agendas. The second part of what he said was that most of these groups are talking about things that happened hundreds of years ago, and that, you know, America has done better by its racial problem than perhaps any other country in the world. I agree with some of that. I wouldn't say that about the NAACP and the Urban League. A lot of their agenda, which one could disagree with, is about trying to remedy present racial inequality. I haven't seen, I don't know, reparations for slavery being at the top of the NAACP's agenda, or that of the Urban League. What I've seen mostly are present problems to deal with present racial inequality. Now we can debate whether they've got the right approach or the wrong approach and how much inequality there is. But I think it's fairly uncontroversial that most of what, let's say, the NAACP and the Urban League are advocating for has to do with present inequality rather than something that happened 200 years mm-hmm. in the past.
Yeah, we need to break at this point because we're out of time. Thank you very much, Professor Mack, for being with us.
Okay.
Thanks.
Thank you.
Professor Kenneth Mack, professor of law at Harvard Law School. We also thank Jenks Morton for being with us. Thanks to Rhonda Fanning for producing this hour, and thanks to Rhonda Fanning as well for on-air production here in our downtown Milwaukee studios. We'll return in a moment.